Carolyn Jasinski on her half lap of Australia in the RV, affectionately known as Boof.
Boof.
Has been Boof.
Boof.
Like almost a wolf, but actually
Boof.
Okay.
That's it.
Boof has been travelling for weeks through the vast outback Western Australia, one state which covers more than 2.6 million square kilometres, or the combined size of Alaska and Texas. Texas with a population of 2.6 million people. That's Western Australia. Mm. This week she reports in from Kalgoorlie in the Goldfields region of Western Australia, almost 600 kilometres east-northeast of Perth.
So, you're in Kalgoorlie, the famous city of gold.
The Wild West.
It is a bit of Wild West, isn't it? But it's a very substantial town. Tell us what your impressions, or what do you expect and what actually transpired when you got there?
Well, as we're driving in, we detoured down off the coast. We went to the Pinnacles and then Wave Rock, because that was on Rick's bucket list.
Yeah.
So, both of them are stunning. Pinnacles are quite unbelievable. It's mustard-coloured sand and 150,000 little limestone outcrops. So you're walking in this desert. You feel like you're in a movie scene for a space movie. It's really fabulous. And then Wave Rock, which some people are very unimpressed with Wave Rock, but we loved it. We got there, it's like a mini Ayers Rock in WA,
yeah.
And the limestone has been eroded in a way where the water seeps in and the wind takes its toll on it as well. It was perfect wave. So, of course, everybody who visits does their,
surfing impression.
Shot. Yeah, right. Yeah. But when you walk to the top of it, that's even more amazing in a way. The rock goes on and on and on, and there's these little oases at the top where there's vegetation and little pools of water. And they've made a dam there. So the dam takes runoff from the rock. It's called the Hyden Rock.
Yeah.
And the runoff goes into this dam, which then supplies the whole area.
Oh,
brilliant.
Okay. And is it under Aboriginal control? Do you, there are places you can't go there, like Ayers Rock?
No. We walked everywhere. There was no signs saying, you can't go here and you can't go there.
Okay.
Coming into Kalgoorlie, we travelled, I think it was about 300 or 400 kilometres from there through the wheat belt in WA, surrounded by these lush green pastures, left the wildflowers behind a little bit further north around Geraldton, and there's just the green, surrounded by green hills, rolling hills, felt like we were nowhere in Australia. And I did feel sorry for the people over in agricultural New South Wales. It's so green, so much water over here, and yet they're in dire straits over there. But then driving into Kalgoorlie, we didn't really know what to expect. We thought perhaps it would be dark and dusty and, not very welcoming, but it's beautiful. It is quite dusty in parts. Of course, that's, the gold mining, the super pit.
Yep.
But the town itself is just lovely. It's about 30,000 people, and it's so welcoming, so out of character with most other places in the country. They look after all their heritage here, very, very proud of the heritage. Lots of renovations going on, so anything old seems to get a new facelift,
right?
Which is lovely. They hang on to all that sort of stuff.
And it's did you say to me that they were celebrating a big anniversary there?
Yes, 125 years since they discovered gold.
Right.
And that was Paddy Hannon. Or Hanan, however you like to pronounce it.
Yep.
1893 first found it, and I think they first dug in 1894.
Mm.
And so it was Paddy and then Dan Shea and Tom Flanagan. And so they set about making the Golden Mile. They pegged out an area, and that was dubbed the Golden Mile.
Mm. And there are some magnificent hotels and public buildings from the turn of the century. Obviously gold played a big role in the development of the town, hasn't it?
Oh, massive, massive, yeah. It made the town rich, really.
Yeah.
Within about a month of them discovering gold, they had 300 people in the town.
Yeah. And it's interesting that this particular gold discovery came 40 years after the rest of Australia had its mini gold rush. Victoria particularly was in the 1850s.
That's right, 50s and going into the 60s, wasn't it?
Yeah. You went to the super pit, didn't you?
I did. We did a tour.
Right.
And it was quite amazing. Had a lovely guy called Wes Murray, but who was so shy that he didn't want to go on radio. On the tour, though, he was magnificent. He took everybody. We got out of the bus twice.
Yep.
And we actually went into the super pit. So we were, you know, sitting back watching these massive trucks go past, loaded up with about 225 ton of rocks, basically. Mm. But it is stunning. You get a view from the very top. So the pit is 3.5 kilometres long, 1.5 wide, and 600 metres deep.
Yeah.
And that's so hard to visualise unless you actually see it. It makes these massive trucks look like little Tonka toys.
Yeah, that's true. And the trucks are a little similar to Tonkas. They're big, you know, huge big wheels and a big bucket on the back. And the cab looks tiny by comparison where the driver sits.
Yeah, or where they sit as well. They've only got vision out of the left-hand side. They can't see down the right-hand side. So very strict rules around where you drive and where you don't drive, and basically you have to give way to these trucks. They get right of way, and I can see why, because they just have a devastating effect. There is a little museum called Hannon's, and it's like an old-fashioned gold mine, and one of the displays is a car that's been flattened.
Oh, I saw that,
it was a test, and they drove over it, and it's just completely flat, and it's a warning that, you know, you give way to these trucks, because apparently the driver didn't even feel it
I can imagine that. Now, I know from when I visited there that I was told a lot of the drives of these huge, big trucks are actually women.
Yes, apparently 40% of the workforce for Kalgoorlie Consolidated are women.
Yep.
And there's been stories going around that they're not as harsh on the vehicles, so that they prefer women drivers, but our bus driver denied any of that. He said the reason why there's 40% women on the workforce is there's 6% men. And it's just a case of whoever's best at the job gets the job.
Yeah. Look, I was impressed with their attitude over there. Apparently you have to live in the town to get a job at the mine. Is that what they said?
That's right, and it takes 6 months to train as a dumpy. They call it a dump truck driver.
Right.
So you have to have been living in the town for 6 months before you can even get a job. Mm. And then they do 7-day shifts, 7 days on, 7 off. Then they do 7 nights on, 7 nights off, 12-hour shifts.
Yep.
Except there's a mum and dad policy. So for those people with young families, you can get better hours. You can work, I think, 9 till 3, so you get to drop the kids off and pick the kids up. I'm not sure what the qualifications are.
You'd fit a lot of kids in the back of one of those trucks.
Yeah, you could take the whole school to school and back again, couldn't you?
It's interesting that they run that mine 24/7, and it's not as if it's lit all the way either. I think they rely on the truck's own headlights to find their way down the hill.
Yes, I've seen the vision at night off the Indian Pacific. You do night tours. And the super pit's pretty well lit up in the areas where they're working. Mm. But you're right, when they're coming up those roads, and the roads have a 10% gradient. We looked at them and thought, they're so steep, surely that's not a road they use. But they are, 10%.
Yeah, that's
and the
pretty,
trucks travel at about 10 k's an hour.
Yeah, going up, but they're going a little faster coming down, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they can go to 40 going in and around the mine, but coming up when they're loaded is 10 k's an hour. It takes them about 45 minutes to get from the bottom to the top. Yeah, it's a fascinating tour. It's not the kind of thing where you go, oh, yes, I'm going to go on a mining tour. Until you come to a place like this and you see the pit, and then you just want to get down in there. They mine 22,000 kilograms of gold a year.
Right.
Which, when you think a 24/7, 365-day-a-year operation, doesn't feel like a lot. But there's about 60 kilograms of gold a day they get.
Yeah.
And that means 1 in 7 trucks has gold in it.
Sounds like a lotto.
Yeah, and it's only a golf ball size of gold.
The super pit is definitely worth a visit there, but there's museums and there's a huge big, like a Disneyland for gold miners over there, isn't there, with all old equipment and everything. So there's lots of chance for you to wander around and get a handle on how they used to do it, how they do it today, There's a truck in one of those big museums you can stand next to and get a real idea of how big it is.
That's right. That's at Hammonds. It's just about a kilometre out of town, not far at all.
The town's got a very colourful past too. I don't know if it's quite as colourful now, but I mean, used to be lots of ladies of the night to keep the miners entertained. I think that's sort of been downplayed a bit now, hasn't it?
It has been downplayed, but one of the tours that is a highlight, according to people in the caravan park, is the brothel tour.
Yeah.
I didn't do the tour. I didn't have time, but everyone who has that I've spoken to just said it was amazing, and especially some of the women looked and said, do you know how much they earn? And it was $280 an hour.
Wow. That's better than a plumber.
You can see the dollar signs ticking over in their heads.
Yeah.
It made for a good day out.
I bet it did. Well, yeah. Carolyn, we've run out of time, unfortunately, but Kalgoorlie sounds like a bucket list item. All right. Well, Carolyn, terrific to talk to you, and I guess we'll catch up with you. You've still got a few weeks to go. And we'll
3 weeks to go.
Yep.
Yeah, we're on the homeward stretch.
And that was Carolyn Jasinski in Kalgoorlie, speaking there with Graham Kemlow.